welcome back to another Sunday with your host, Lisa Lamrock.
And Christy
Osgood. Tonight we have Christy joining us, lovely co-host from White Settlement with another Southern accent. I'm so glad that you're on tonight, Christy.
Oh, I'm glad to finally be here.
I know last week you had something going on. And tonight we have two great guests. We have Corey Nagy and Allison Ford of PAST with us tonight. Welcome, Corey and Allison.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And you guys are out of Regina, Canada, right?
Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, yes.
That's
I just
a long
can't
name.
Get past the name.
No.
Yeah.
That's why I just in there.
I'm sure you get that a lot, but my mind
North border on North Dakota and Montana.
Okay. And now, Elsa, you just joined kind of recent, I think I heard, or was it this year?
Yeah, it happened just over a year ago.
Okay. And there's, like, I didn't realize there's, like, a ton of past groups. I mean, y'all are everywhere. Like, look like pretty much every state. And y'all are all associated?
No, actually, we're not. We've noticed that, too, that the past name is everywhere, but none of us are actually affiliated with each other.
Oh,
and
you're not.
The acronyms are a little bit different.
Yeah, the acronyms are a little different.
So there's two different paths.
I think there's actually about three. I know there's one in the States, and they cover about four or five states down there. There's one in Europe, and then there's us here in Canada.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I've noticed that with some paranormal teams that there's several that have the same name.
Yeah. And I knew one of them had, like, something like 90 groups, and so I thought they maybe just extended up into Canada and some other places as well. I didn't know they were all different.
Well, I think some of them, like some of the paranormal groups, they have that GAC affiliation. And so I think it's kind of along the same lines, the PAST. Our acronym stands for Paranormal and Supernatural Team. And then there's different variations of that. But, yeah, we're not affiliated with any other group by PAST name.
Okay. Else, like I had heard about last year about the AMP, the ghost AMP, and I wanted to find out about that. So I'm sure there's a lot of people curious how it works exactly. Is it pretty much like a pump, or how does that work?
It's a little bit different than anything on the market right now. There's other devices that were designed to actually pump electromagnetic field into electromagnetic energy into the environment, but this is completely different. We decided to use a DC current, so direct current, and the reasoning behind that was just from myself being interested in the paranormal, doing some research, watching shows, investigating. A lot of times you'll have drainage on your equipment, so drainage on your cameras, video cameras, other equipment. The battery sometimes just inexplicably just drains. So what I thought was, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who is an electronics engineer, and I just said, well, is there something that we could design that would actually, you know, put out a lot of DC current into the environment, basically in the same way that a battery would, but, you know, thousands of times stronger? And he said, yeah, absolutely. So that's how Ghost AMP came about. It pumps a lot of DC current into the area. So basically, you're thinking about what we've noticed when we've been doing any of our paranormal investigations, the ghosts or spirits or entities, they will still, you know, feed off of batteries, but they also feed off the ghost AMP too. So to me, it's more proven that they're going to be feeding off of a DC current than you know, a electromagnetic field. I think you can still use electromagnetic field equipment that you can, you know, to detect the entity, and we still do. But we don't pump electromagnetic fields into the environment because it's actually quite harmful. Anybody who's using those right now, I really strongly recommend probably not using anything that pumps electromagnetic field into the area. It can cause hallucinations. Hallucinations, you know, disorientation, being sick to the stomach. So this way the DC current does not do any of that, and so you're still, you know, hopefully feeding entities, ghosts, but you're not getting those, you know, terrible side effects to the people that are actually doing the investigating.
That's a really good idea. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Yep. I've dubbed it the Red Bull for ghosts.
Well, I kind of jumped ahead. Normally I ask everybody that comes on what kind of piqued your interest and got you in. Because, Corey, I noticed on your bio it said that you had a few things occur, you know, before you started in the field, but most of it was actually after. So I was curious as to what both got you both, you know, interested in it and where I've got to find out more. I need to know more.
Well, actually, I did have a few experiences when I was younger, but me being very logical-minded, I always tried to brush them off and explain it away. But what really started me into the paranormal was my daughter. She was very scared of the 2012 conspiracy of how the world's going to end. So we started doing research, and we looked into the Mayan calendar, the I Ching. We started looking into even Webbot, biblical prophecies, things like that. And it just got more and more in-depth from there, and it led me to the paranormal. And I started my interest there a little bit heavier, and I was still kind of a skeptic. And then I noticed an ad online, and they were looking for an investigator to join PAST. So I responded to that, and I got put onto the team that day, actually. Kelsey and the other founding member, who's not with us anymore, he's gone off to school, hired me. And ever since then, you know, I've been here as the debunker. And then we had one house we went to, which we've dubbed the Hell House. And ever since then, I've been a believer in the paranormal, a believer in spirituality, and it's completely changed me.
What about you, Allison?
Since I was a little girl, again, I've always been interested in the paranormal. My dad was a huge influence, everything from aliens to ghosts, always been interested in it. Basically, when I, you know, started getting older, I could, you know, read more. I was actually very fortunate to have a friend, and her mom was really into, you know, metaphysical things, and she was able to, you know, basically, you know, give me information or, you know, encourage me to look into things. She had a friend who was also a parapsychologist. So growing up, when I'd have sleepovers there, their parapsychologist friend would sometimes stay out there for the weekend, and he would actually tell us real ghost stories before he went to bed. And I guess it was that realization that, you know, you're talking to an adult and they're saying, oh, well, you know, ghosts are real and monsters are real and demons are real. And because otherwise you talk to any other adult, they just kind of dismiss it and say no. But I guess because I had a few adults in my life that encouraged me and, you know, said that, yeah, these things are real. And I just was always interested. So as I grew up, I just tried to read as many things as I could. And then when all the shows started becoming popular, I watched a lot of shows and just, you know, tried to seek out people that had the same interest as me. And, of course, again, it was kind of spotted by different experiences that I had over the years, and everything from, you know, seeing apparitions to feeling things. And then, of course, designing the ghost app, later on, Past actually approached me and asked me if I wanted to be on the team. And, of course, I jumped at the opportunity. I mean, this way it's just awesome to see the, you know, ghost town being used all the time and, you know, just experiencing more and hopefully in the future have way more experiences. And so.
Okay, Corey, I have to ask this. I noticed that you mentioned on your bucket list that you want to investigate the Island of Dolls. Why
yes.
there? Dolls terrify the hell out of me. Why would you want to go there?
Well, it mainly because of all the activity that's happened out there and because of one of our former investigators is scared the hell out of dolls, so I told him, like, that's one place to go. So I told him, like, I do this Elf on the Shelf thing every year, except mine's a little bit anti-Elf on the Shelf. He's not exactly Christmas friendly. So I told him I'm going to bring that and a Chucky doll, and he's like, I'm not coming. So
oh, my God. No dolls, no clowns.
The history behind that island is kind of unique, too, with the little girl that was found, like, supposedly had drowned, and the caretaker found her, and then was hanging the dolls, supposedly to, you know, please her spirit, is what they say.
Yeah,
and then they
heard.
Found his body, like, 50 years later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody wants to know about the Chucky doll. Ask him about Chucky Banks the doll.
Chucky Banks the doll?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about Chucky Banks the doll, but Chuck doll, yeah. Chucky for sure. It's just from the movie, right? Child's Play.
I think Paranormal Talk 101.
I think it's Chuck Banks. He's just messing with you, I think.
I think it's Chuck Banks, yeah.
I'll be breaking me.
Hi, Chuck.
Yeah. Be careful, we'll make a doll
yeah.
for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt knows people, Chuck.
And Corey, your list is actually both of you, their lists are pretty diverse on the bucket list. I mean, there was like a place in China and...
I want to know why Allison wants Egypt. I mean, that would be freaking cool, but, I mean, what's in Egypt?
Well, what isn't in Egypt, kind of? to me, it's, since I was little, like, I've always been completely fascinated by it. But, I mean, if you're any, you know, where near into the metaphysical or spirituality, I mean, it's a birthplace. It's a Mecca.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
To go to Egypt, I mean, just, you know, the temples, the Valley of the Kings, you know, just everything around there. It's just, you know, a cradle of spirituality.
Yeah, I've just recently started getting into the metaphysical, so, yeah, I never thought about that on that aspect. But, yeah, that would be really cool.
But, yeah, I mean, I it was kind of on my bucket list. I did want to get there before it's 40. And I have like a year and a half before I get to go. But I don't know. We'll have to see. It's just right now it's kind of, you know, not maybe the greatest place to travel right now. But
that's true.
My husband has actually been there before. He is a former Air Force, United States Air Force, and he was deployed over there. And of course, he shows me the pictures and tells me the stories, and, I mean, that doesn't help. And so, definitely, it's something we have to go to together.
Yeah. Corey, I noticed that Past has got a TV show now. Can you tell us about it? And has it had a good response?
Well, yeah, we have. Actually, we've had a really good response. We're pretty high in the ratings right now, but, you know, we're not – too focused on the TV show. You know, it's a platform for us to get the word out there. We're not doing this to become famous or celebrities or anything like that. We do this to educate people. And whether the TV show was there or not, we would still be doing this. We'd be putting our stuff out on YouTube. And, you know, it's just a good platform in general. It's fun to do, however. You know,
It really pushes us, you know.
Yeah.
It pushes us to put evidence out there pushes us to be better when we're, you know, capturing evidence, and you're a little bit more aware of, you know, what you're filming and where you're pointing it and how you're talking. And it does actually, you know, as much as it does add that element of stress, but it also, I think it's been quite positive.
That
it
kind of
holds
like
you to some standards in a way.
It
absolutely
does.
Yeah.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned about putting the evidence out there, I've noticed, like, in a lot of groups and a lot of pages, these paranormal teams, they'll sit there and say they're going on this investigation and that investigation. They're really good places, but they never post their evidence. What do you think about the groups that do that?
I think a lot of times it really depends on the time restrictions you have for it. I mean, everybody has a daytime job. This is not our full-time job.
Oh, yeah.
And also, too, it depends. You might go to the most haunted places ever and capture nothing. I mean, it's always, you know, that proverbial shot in the dark kind of thing. So, I mean, there's investigations we've been on that, and the funny thing is, too, there's investigations we've been on that we thought in the moment that we captured absolutely nothing. And then we go back and there's a ton of evidence there. So, I mean, and again, too, I guess it just really depends on who's able to do it, too. Like, I know for myself, I have no training in that, so we rely upon, you know, Corey, Kelsey, you know, other people on the team that can actually do that type of work, and they're busy with their lives, too. But I don't know. I mean, some people like to brag about where they're going to, too. Like, oh, I'm going here, or I'm going to wherever on the weekend, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, for me, I ran into when I had my group was people were very judgmental because if they didn't know you, and I guess it depends if they know you too and they know your work and they know if you're ethical or not and everything, but, you know, they could be like, oh, that's not a scratch. That's not this. That's not that. Unless you're actually there in the situation and when it occurred, people can be very, very harsh. So it got to the point where
yeah.
I actually just didn't even put anything out there. I mean, I went and did my thing, but with the public, you know, locations, I didn't really throw anything out, you know,
I mean,
on occasion.
Anything that we've ever posted in the past, too, it's always been like, this is what we caught. What do you think? Like, and we're totally open
yeah.
to criticism.
Yeah, we always put it out
there.
Yeah. No matter what, you're going to fall victim to criticism. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's always going to be the people out there that are going to be hard on what you do and just naysayers in general.
I think as long as you get people talking about it, like, that's how the field is going to further itself. If people are, you know,
yeah.
saying, well, that could be a dust particle or that could be, you know, some type of a bug or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about it. Like,
yeah.
Let's actually talk about it instead of, like, you know, throwing stones at each other. Like, let's actually, you know, sit there and, you know, criticize. You
try to figure it out.
And especially with that type of field, like, you can't get your, you know, haunches up every time that somebody says, oh, well, that's not it. Okay, well, that's your opinion. Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, again, like, we're doing this because, you know, it is a hobby. It's something we enjoy doing, and we're trying to be as ethical and get as ethical of evidence as possible. So.
Yeah, and really, investigations are just for growth. They're not for approval or popularity. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And those are the words of our fine wizard on the team. That would be Matt Lay. He's a wizard.
That's my husband.
Yeah.
That's my
favorite. Can you tell us more about the Paranormal World Society?
Oh, well, I guess they are they're a faction overseas, and I guess they hold this contest every year. And they nominate a bunch of investigators, and they just pick them at random worldwide. And the past team was lucky enough to have Allison and Kelsey both chosen this year. And they did a fantastic job at racking in the votes. So maybe Allison can explain a little bit more on that.
Well, basically, like Corey said, it's a group over there based out of the Netherlands, out of Holland. Gert Bauer is the one that heads it up, and they're a very, very active organization. They put out a tremendous amount of work, and so last year I was also had won an award with the PSW Awards, and it was for, actually, it wasn't for the same thing. It was for, I think, up-and-coming female or something, and then
yep.
this year it was actually in the equipment specialist category. I mean, I was up against some amazing people, and, like, Bill Chappell and that, and, I mean, obviously, like, he has a lot more experience and does way more than I do, but, again, it was kind of like, you know, whoever vote, you know, it all comes down to whoever voted. It doesn't mean that I'm a better equipment specialist than him whatsoever, and I have a lot of respect for that man, but it is really cool to win an award like that. And then Kelsey, also on the team, she has won the, was it TV
female personality.
Female personality. Sorry. And
I heard she was up against Amy Goodwin.
Yes,
yes.
Up against Amy Goodwin as well. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to be recognized for that. I also find it kind of cool with the equipment specialists because it's kind of a male-dominated area, which
yeah,
is kind of
yeah.
cool. But you know what? To be honest, like, I've had nothing, you know, especially with Ghost Amp and presenting, like, you know, something that is tech-related. I've had maybe one or two guys out of, like, so many, you know, be supportive. Like, everyone's been supportive of Ghost Amp and my ideas and that, and not saying, oh, you're some, you know, silly girl or whatever and don't know what you're talking about. But, no, it's been pretty cool. So, I mean, with that award, it just,
how long have they been doing the awards? Like, how many years now? Or is this something really new?
As far as I know, two or three?
I think it's been 3 years now he's been doing this.
Wow. It's really nice, though, like you said, to have the recognition. And I think it helps kind of push everybody a little harder to, you know, put more equipment out there and learn more and just do more for the field.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, before we go to break, I wanted to ask, with 2015, like, out the door, what y'all's peaks and pits were for 15. Do you know what I mean by peak and pit?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Like, the best, and yeah.
Well, the
and it,
peak,
it could be paranormal
say,
or personal, either or.
Well, I'd say it's kind of a little bit of both. The pits would be, we lost two team members last year. The former lead left, put me in charge, and then our editor also left at the end of season one. And the peak would be actually gaining Matt, Allison, and Daryl Lee this year, and actually getting onto Access 7 so we can get our word out there. And
we caught some really amazing evidence this year, too.
We really did.
Really
yeah.
cool.
Like,
I mean, for everything from, like, amazing EVPs to a full-body apparition, and, I mean, it's just amazing. So
yeah, what we got at the German Club this year was incredible. Like, we were in the auditorium, and we just turned the camera, and I just finished shutting a door. And when I turned around back to that door, it was actually open about 6-8 inches. And through that crack, you can see a full-bodied apparition there just staring at us.
Mm-hmm.
And it really yeah. validated it for us when we did the episode premiere for them at the German Club. And after that show was done, we had people approaching us saying, we know that girl. Her name is
Leslie.
So they actually recognized her in spiritual form.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's been awesome as well. But I think one thing we are finding with the pits about that is, like, the opposite end of the spectrum is that because of we're getting more popular and more kind of attention, even locally, some people that were open to us being at their properties or, you know, into that are kind of closing that door, kind of like, well, we don't want any more, you know, extra attention and that. But I know, we still are finding
yeah.
some great places to investigate those too.
Exactly. And even with those people that don't want the extra attention, not everything has to be put on TV.
Absolutely.
We are still willing just to come out to your house. If you're having issues, problems, concerns, we'll come out, we'll investigate, we'll do a smudging. We did that 2 weeks ago. Just to come out and help. And that's our main goal, is just to help people and bring comfort to them.
With that, we're going to take a quick little 3-minute break, listen to a song by a wonderful guy, Brandon Jeffries, and then we'll come back and we'll hit on maybe, I wanted to ask you about cryptozoology and UFOs and stuff when we get back. So
perfect.
One here.
Just hiding Bigfoot himself.
Lisa and Christy, and our special guests, Allison and Corey of TASS. So before we went to break, I wanted to ask you about cryptozoology, UFOs, if you guys hit on any of that when people ask you for help, or you know, go out and just research it any on your own?
Well, you know, it's actually kind of hard to do. Like, we're out in the prairies here, and there's been a record of, like, 2 Bigfoot sightings over the last decade here, so it's pretty hard to do. Like the most recent one happened about 4 years ago, about 30 miles out of town from us, and we never did have the opportunity to go out and investigate that. It's just so many people actually just headed out that way anyways to do their own investigation, so the area was completely saturated with people, and it wouldn't have led to a good investigation.
When it comes to UFOs, you know, I'm sure the average person here has probably seen like 100 UFOs in the sky, because it is, we're all sky up here. Like, if you ever heard of, Montana, Big Sky, we are completely flat. I mean, there's barely a hill or anything. I mean, it's just like, standing, on the ocean, it's just completely
kinda
flat.
Kind of sounds like West Texas.
Yeah,
West Texas.
Yeah, it has a huge sky. So, I've seen a few things in the sky myself that I've always questioned, like, was that really what I saw? But again, hard to prove. Just recently in a city called Moose Jaw, and just about 45 minutes away from Regina.
Yeah, we actually had a sighting out there. There was 9 lights spotted in the sky, and I was actually in Moose Jaw at the time when it was spotted, and I never seen it.
But it was there was an RCMP officer, I think, that had seen it.
Yeah.
They thought it was luminaries, like some people, you know, to do those floating luminaries for, you know, cancer research or whatever, and they called around to different organizations, and nope, they hadn't. And I mean, I guess they're obviously too big for luminaries too. So, you know, and I've also heard reports of, you know, that loud, you know, booming noise that has been heard all over the world. Lumsden, close to Lumsden area, that's, you know, a few people have reported that. That was a couple of years ago. And then growing up, I know just close to where I live, I'm 20 minutes south of Regina, and there was a UFO landing there. And the parapsychologist that I grew up with, he was out there investigating it. So, I mean, again, that's quite a while ago, but they had, you know, covered evidence of, you know, anything from, you know, rock that had liquefied into, you know, glass or anything like that, scorch marks on the ground. We also have cattle mutilations, you know, not too far away from here as well, been reported, like, not too long ago.
Yeah, that was out in Langenberg. It's probably about an hour and a half drive from here.
Yeah.
Would that be more like a cult-type thing, or are people just claiming it's...
Mm.
We've
seen the photos. We're associated with another group called CLPI. It's Calling Lakes Paranormal Investigators. They're now a defunct group, but they actually had the opportunity to go investigate these cattle mutilations, and we had the opportunity to see the photos that they took and just look at some of their research that they did. And there was parts of these cows that were just like laser cut right out, and it was all the flesh, the bone, the vein, everything. It was perfectly removed from the cow, so you could actually see the cow's jaw. And it was just a perfect circle, like there was nothing else touched. It was like nothing I've ever seen before. They organs were missing, and it was just a perfect cut straight into where that organ was, and that organ was missing, and it was also laser cut from there as well. So I don't think it could be anything that a cult would do. It's seems like it was done by technology beyond anything that we have now.
That's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. Wow. Now, what other? There was a milestone hotel that you guys have investigated a few times, brought you back at least a few, or there was some sleepovers you're hosting there or something.
We've had a little bit of history with the Milestone Hotel. We were approached earlier in 2015 by a production company here in Regina to do a pilot episode for a major network. So we contacted the Milestone Hotel. Actually, Allison hooked us up with that. And we set up an investigation date out there because we've always heard rumors that the hotel's haunted. It's had quite a bit of history out there. So we loaded up the trucks, we headed out there, we filmed the pilot episode, we had a great time. We turned it into our own episode for YouTube and stuff like that at the time, which is, we've had to pull that off because it turned into an Access 7 episode. But during the time we went out there, we had a lot of activity that first night. So we decided, well, now that we got rid of the big camera crews and the extra people and stuff like that, let's go out there and revisit this investigation location and do a nice quiet one with just the team. And we got
What's
amazing
the
results
behind
over
this location.
Well, it was built in 1913 and it ran as a functioning hotel and bar for a long time. And in 1927, it burnt to the ground. The fire started in the stairwell, and a 15-year-old hockey player actually lost his life in the building. He first escaped from the building, but he realized that he left his hockey skates inside. So he thought he had enough time to run back in, grab them, and leave. But he was wrong, because at the time they were using, it was like an oil-based chemical to help sweep up, to keep the dust down. And it always left an oil residue on the floor. And once that caught, the building just went up real fast, like gas to a flame, right? And the community got together. They rebuilt the hotel and bar.
On the original foundation.
On the original foundation that was still there. And they rebuilt it and turned it back into a bar. And in the 30s, there was like a, I'm going to call it a speakeasy in the basement, because we did have prohibition up here for a while. So they did do like poker games and drinking and partying in the basement. And the rest of it upstairs was just your basic common front. It was a cafe and it was a hotel. But in the basement, there was a lot of fights, arguments, bloodshed, stuff like that, because people would actually go in there and bet their farms and, you know, eventually lose, and, you know, feelings were hurt and things happen. So people did lose their lives, and there are a lot of owners that lived in the building passed away there. There was a small girl in the 60s who came in to visit her dad, who was drinking in the bar, and he got frustrated with her and he chased her out, and she got struck by the train just outside the building. And it said that her spirit is haunting the building as well.
What happened when he chased her out?
He chased her out, and she got struck by a train just outside the building. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I know y'all two have both investigated a whole lot of locations. What is one of y'all's or a couple of y'all's favorite locations y'all investigated and experiences from those, if any?
I think one of them was the German Club, and that was pretty cool because, again, the first, you know, well, we actually had a guest investigator with us as well. Her name is Charmaine Tweet. She's actually a UFC fighter, and she trains locally, and it was, you know, fun to have her on. She's actually a really good investigator as well.
She beat me up a little.
That was a lot of fun. And then just the fact that the evidence was really good, and it kind of confirmed to me, because I don't have as many, maybe, you know, investigations as other people do on the team, but it was, you know, don't go by what you see and hear in the moment, because, you know, that also, because, you know, there's some people who are, you know, complete purists that say that, oh, I don't use any equipment because everything's to be felt and whatever. But, you know, a lot of things are picked up on equipment that we don't see, you know, that we're not physically able to hear or see. I know my husband had a, you know, crazy experience. He, at the time, he didn't hear laughter at the German Club. And then later on, we heard this distinct kid, you know, a young girl laughing. And I mean, you know, that just goes to show, I mean, he didn't hear it, but it was picked up. And so that location was awesome. What was your favorite, Corey?
Oh, I've got a few actually. The Hell House, it's never ever going to be an episode. You'll never see the footage. We've been asked not to release anything, but I love that location. It was rather intense, like full-bodied apparition that we can actually see it with our own eyes. People getting touched.
Are you talking
getting
about
sick.
Our haunted Hell House?
No, I'm talking about our haunted Hell House. We've dubbed it the Hell
okay.
House because it's just a private residence here. And it was a rather intense night. We decided to come back and make a second trip of it, and we had a large group with us that night, and everybody in that building seen a large mist kind of float down the hallway and just kind of vanish into nowhere. There's footsteps that happen, doors slamming. You know, it's a rather active home, and the owner has trouble keeping tenants in the building. Like, he wants them in there for a year, but I mean, maximum 3 months, and they're gone. That's one of my favorite locations.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list of places I want to go to so bad.
Yeah, the German Club. The German Club is also on that list as well.
When y'all investigate, like, you're probably a little biased to the amp, but besides that, is there any other equipment that you have to have? You're like, I have to have this with me.
Oh, for me, it's the ghost box.
Or is there anything
box.
That you pay and you just like, no, we're not using that. It's out.
Actually,
is there anything you
need? Yeah, we were actually really... This is the funniest thing, like, I invested in the obelisk because I'd heard, like, really good things about it, but using it on location, like, terrible. I thought, you know, this is, I mean, it could be, you know, again, it's completely up to me, you know, the person, and some people have really good results, but to me, I didn't really find that the greatest. Definitely, our cameras are huge for us. You know, the infrared cameras, full spectrum.
The night vision, yeah.
The night vision, that's huge. I mean, you can capture everything, you know, audio, you can capture video, I mean.
Cameras are essential for us. We bring them everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Ghost Box, I personally love the Ghost Box.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just get a kick out of it. Steve,
did you
which
get
I've
the
done,
11 or do you still use the 7?
Oh, we use the SB11. We do have the 7.
Mm-hmm.
We will use it, but I'm kind of partial to the SB11.
See, I'm partial
to the
7. I've had it for so long.
Yeah, see, I'm one of those people that's not crazy about the Ghost Box. It drives me insane. It's just all
yellow, white noise.
And
yeah.
Yes. And then it's just like, to me, it's so random. You know,
well,
I mean.
I think the one thing that really confirmed it for me, though, the Ghost Box, was when we were down.
The German Club.
Not the German Club. At the, in Fort Capel.
Oh.
Or in Capel.
In Capel, yeah.
When we were, the coolest thing happened, one of our best experiences with the Ghost Box was, the Echo Box. We were using Echo Box.
That was Echo Box.
I'm sorry.
I was skeptical about it, and the reason why I was skeptical about it is talking with my husband about that is because, again, it's not like frequency based when it comes to like radio stations and that it is like internet, you know, or just randomly generated. But I don't know. We got some really good hits with that. I was actually really pleasantly surprised. And it was, I'll just tell you a quick story because it was a really cool experience. And Corey and I were downstairs in this old building. It has old jail cells. And the whole night we had to be escorted in the building because there are sensitive documents that were locked in the building and they just wanted somebody to be there to kind of chaperone us, which is fine and it happens often. Anyway, we were down in this one jail cell, and we had actually here, you explain it better.
Okay, we were using the Echo Box downstairs, and we could hear footsteps approaching us from down the steps, and we assumed that it was our chaperone just coming into the building because he took two other investigators to the building next door, which was available to us as well. And when we were downstairs, we were just trying to get hits off the Echo Box, and we could hear these footsteps approaching us, and we asked who was in the building. And the name Mike came across the Echo Box, which happened to be the name of our chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
So we assumed right away that it was Mike in the building. And we kept going. We were getting really good hits off of that all night long in the jail cell. And we decided, okay, you know, it's been an hour. Let's pack it up. We'll go outside. We'll regroup and figure things out.
Well, we thought that Mike was in the next room to us.
Yeah, we thought he was in the next room the whole time.
And then we actually thought we heard him go up the stairs and everything because we thought, oh, that's just Mike leaving, right?
Yeah. And the whole time, we just assumed that he was there. So we didn't really pay any attention to anything going on. We never went over and looked at it, which is investigator mistake number, like, that's
yeah,
go and
that's
look.
True.
Always go and look. Because when we were leaving the building, we were like, okay, well, where's Mike? And we walked around the basement a little bit, couldn't find him, went up to the main floor. He's not there. We kicked open the door to the outside, and there he is sitting in our trailer. And we said, when did you leave the building? He goes, what are you talking about? I never came in. So we screwed up. We never went and looked, and we should have.
But it was really validating with the – so, you know, you're piecing it together, and you're – like the Echo Box is saying the name Mike and – Ghost. I think it's a ghost too, and it was
Ghost Prisoner.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So again, that's something that we have been, you know, playing around with is the Echo Box. Also too, an experiment my husband set up with the ghost amp. We had the ghost amp running, and then we actually had a device on it to see if there is drainage coming from the ghost amp. So we had this device on it. and we were using an Echovox in that room talking, and when we had hits with the Echovox, we were getting a drain on the ghost app too. So it kind of validated it, like it's, you know, some is drawing energy to manifest itself, so, you know, whether it's in word or whatever. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, do you have any other equipment on the horizon, anything you're working on that you can talk about?
Well, there is things on the horizon, but we can't divulge any of those secrets just yet. There is a few pieces of equipment out there that personally we would like to purchase, like that the Ghost Arc that's out there. I think that's a neat piece of machinery. I'd love to play with that a little bit.
The Ghost what?
The Ghost Arc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also that special, is it FLIR?
Oh, the FLIR. Yeah, the FLIR imaging camera. FLIR. Yeah, definitely
that's
FLIR
what
imaging
we want.
Camera. Everybody wants one. Nobody can afford it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I really like the whole, like, watching, you know, different shows and they're using the Kinect camera. And
I know. That's cool.
That's really cool. And I didn't know it until my husband was looking into the, you know, researching on how to do it. And he had said the reason why it was used for ghost hunting was they're finding out that the people that were using the Kinect cam were getting, you know, these other, it was, the Kinect cam was identifying other images and piecing them together as figures. And then later on found out that, or they knew that their house was haunted. So they kind of drew that conclusion. And I find that's really cool. Like, you're using, you know, things that you have to, you know, further the field and, you know, try experiment. Like, that's what it's all about. Like, we need to experiment. And I know my husband, myself, you know, Corey, everybody, I mean, we all kind of have ideas of different equipment that we want to design or try out in the future. And so that's what it's all about, is furthering the field, and whether it's through, you know, designing of equipment or, you know.
Even just general practice, you know,
out
in the field.
Yeah,
absolutely. Corey, in the time that you've started as an investigator, what advances have you seen in the paranormal field as far as, like, evidence that's been put out there that kind of will validate things more, or equipment-wise?
Well, equipment-wise, I've seen the Ghost app come out, and I can verify that thing works 100%. We've been investigating a small church just outside of the city, and we've been there, like, it's our stopping ground. We've been there a dozen or so times, and we've always gotten really good hits off of the place. And the first night we tried out Ghost app, it was incredible. We've never had that much activity in that location. So that piece of technology is fantastic. So we use it all the time. And, you know, I'm not being biased to it because she's sitting right here. And it's actually a fantastic piece of machinery.
Well, that's
sounds
too.
Thrilling.
If they thought it was like a piece of garbage, I'd like to know too. Like, I mean, it's all, you know what I mean? Like, it's good to get, you know, if anyone's using the Ghost amp or anything, it's good to have that feedback and either way. And
and how do y'all feel about, because people use, a lot of people, they still use the phone apps. I don't personally, I don't trust them or anything, but I wanted to get y'all thoughts on the phone apps and people using those.
I don't believe they work. It's an app. It's a phone app. It can be programmed to do whatever. You know, like find the ghost in my room.
You got an electrical background there with your husband, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of apps out there, and I mean, there's different, you know, things coming out all the time with the apps, and I mean, again, with the only one I've really, really used has been the Echo Box.
Echo Box, yep.
I know there's, you know, a couple of other people that have put apps out there as well. But again, you know, basically, I mean, your phone can be used as a tool, absolutely. It's just, you know, I guess it's just, you know, use different things and experiment in the field, and that's the only way that we're going to prove things, you know, work, and if they don't work. Because, I mean, you can come up with the best ideas in the world, but if you don't actually put them into practice, it's not really going to help anything.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming up close to the hour. So before we get too close, because last time we ended up talking and going over, I wanted to give you all time to promote anything you have, like let everybody know where they can find you, website, email, wherever they can contact you for investigations, the
That's
TV
me,
show. Yeah, any
okay,
other
cool.
event.
You can contact us on Facebook. Just look up PAST, P.A.S.T. It's kind of a pain, but...
Or you can Google PAST Saskatchewan,
yeah. You can contact us via email at pastsask@gmail.com. You can find us every Friday nights only on Access 7. And then you can also look us up on pastsask.ca. And that's our website there. And what else is there?
Oh, GhostStamp has a Facebook page, and then also it's ghoststamp.ca if you want any more information. And again, like, I'm on Facebook quite regularly. I help my brother farm, so it's kind of a downtime for me. But, I mean, if anyone ever wants to contact and, contact me just to chat and just say, you know, talk about paranormal, you know, investigations or, you know, equipment or anything like that, I'm totally up for it. I mean, I like to hear new ideas. I like to hear what people are doing. So.
Yep. And, you know, if anybody's out there that needs an investigation done here in Saskatchewan or close to us, you know, we never charge anything. We feel that it's wrong if you are getting charged because you already have a problem. Why make it worse financially? So we will come out for free and look into your issues and help you the best we can.
Awesome. I want to thank both of you for coming on tonight. Luckily, it was the same time zone. I just found out. Christy, I think I told you, their time zone doesn't change their time at all. They don't
only
really forward all back.
Yeah, only Saskatchewan ever changes.
So cool.
Yeah, we don't feel like saving time or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky.
Yeah, never have to change our clocks. It's perfect.
Well, it's been fun. Hope to have you guys on again sometime. And we're going to go ahead and go out with Brandon Jeffries again.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
I'll try to hide how I